Man, listen, at the end of the day, we gotta talk about shit. If you don't talk about the shit, you won't deal with the shit. You gotta cope. A lot of us cope negatively, some positively. But you gotta talk about it. And talking about it sometimes opens up the window to just get through it and realize you're not the only one. Thou must cope. This episode is about attachment styles. To be quite frank, a lot of people don't know what attachment styles are, so I did want to kind of go ahead and discuss the attachment styles. I do want to be like real with y'all and say this. And one thing I wanted to say is attachment styles are something that there are like multiple names for. Like, there's never really a different name for like the secure attachment style, but then like you might see sometimes people will say fearful, sometimes people will say avoidant fearful, sometimes people will say just avoidant, or you know, there's a lot of different things. Or like dismissive, they might say it's disorganized. So just bear with me here, and I want to kind of go over the attachment styles. So the first attachment style that I want to talk about is secure. Secure attachment style would mean that you can trust fairly easy, you're attuned to your emotions, you communicate anything that upsets you directly. So communicating in head zone. You lead with cooperative and flexible behavior in relationships. And so that could mean like you're very self-sufficient, you're comfortable with intimacy, and you're interdependent, you want interdependent relationships. So just very comfortable. One like example of that is being able to say it's easy for me to get close to others. And I'll kind of like touch on the examples further, so I'm not going to continue to say those. Or being able to say like I can rely on others to meet my needs. And so that's going to be the first one. Most people aren't going to be secure, but the goal is to be secure. The next one is anxious. Those people tend to have sensitive nervous systems. They struggle communicating their needs directly. They tend to act out when they're triggered. So like an example of that could be making your partner jealous. You might be very overly invested and involved in close relationships or dependent on others for your self-worth, demanding, needy, and just, yeah. Ooh. Sorry, I kind of felt something myself for that one. And you might want like excessive intimacy, or like tend to be very clingy in relationships, and you're just like highly emotional, like when it comes to reactions. The next one would be like avoidant dismissive. Avoidant dismissive people will downplay the importance of relationships. They're usually extremely self-reliant and can become like more vulnerable when there's like a big crisis. And so like you're very dismissive of attachment and like counter dependent. You're going to always downplay the importance of intimate relationships. And so of course that seemed like pretty easy. You're not going to want to like you're not going to want to rely on other people. I feel like a lot of people kind of resonate with that one. And then the last one would be avoidant fearful. Avoidant fearful people are more dependent in relationships than avoidant dismissive, because both of them are avoidant. They strongly fear rejection, tend to have low self-esteem, and have high anxiety in relationships. So, you know, you're going to be afraid of intimacy and rejection. You believe self to be worthy of rejection. So you're also highly emotional, but you feel like you deserve rejection in a sense. We'll kind of further touch up on this in the podcast episode. I don't know why I'm saying a lot. Like, my lips is real dry and it's just a lot for me, okay? But let me lastly say that attachment styles come from your childhood. So they come from what your guardian failed to provide you or did provide you as a child. So I kind of want to go over what each of these look like and how they manifest in adulthood. So with a secure attachment, your mother, father, or guardian was very quick to cater to your needs. They were sensitive and very consistent. And so in terms that made a child that is secure, very explorative and happy. So you believe that your trust and needs will be met. Next will be anxious. So with the anxious attachment style, the mother, father, guardian, parent was very inconsistent. They were sometimes sensitive and sometimes neglectful. So what that manifested in the child was for them to be anxious, for them to be insecure, and then to be angry. And that basically meant that they felt like they cannot rely on their needs to be met. So, you know, kind of like sometime you like, you know, you might be here sometimes. Sometimes you might not. I really don't know what I'm going to get. Then I want to go to avoidant dismissive. And with avoidant dismissive, that mother, father, parent, guardian was very extreme. They were frightening or frightened and very passive. So that caused the child to be like depressed or passive, sometimes angry, non-responsive to things. And how that kind of manifested is they're severely confused with no strategy to have their needs met. So it's just kind of like, I know I have needs, but I don't even know how to go about getting them met, if that makes any sense. And then lastly is going to be like fearful avoidant. And so that parent, mother, guardian, father was very distant and disengaged. And so that caused the child to not be very explorative and emotionally distant. And so how that manifested is, you know, that child subconsciously believes that their needs probably won't be met. So, you know, you have the secure feeling like your needs can be met and they trust that they will be met. You have the avoidant fearful that feels like their needs probably won't be met, you know. And then you have the avoidant dismissive that is just like, I don't even know how it looks like if they will be met. Like, I don't know the strategy to go about having my needs met. And then you have the anxious, which is just like, you know, I can't rely on anyone to meet my needs. And so that's just basically an overview of the attachment styles. And so stay tuned to see what we say. And before jumping all the way in, I did want to provide y'all with a very good resource. If you have Instagram, go to Bridge to Therapy's page. And that is BRIDGE, the number 2, Therapy, TheraPy. She is a psychotherapist and she has a video in her like Instagram videos, so like, you know, like not the little grid part, not the things that she's tagged in, but the videos that she's uploaded. It is called What Is Your Attachment Style? It's a very good video to listen to. She goes further into detail about, you know, the examples of each attachment style, how it manifests, what it looks like an example of what you would do. So like, for example, for avoiding fearful, she might talk about how in a relationship, or if you all were to have a disagreement and if it was to get very hectic, instead of continuing to confront that issue, you might decide to leave home and go just take some space, or you might just get fed up and not want to talk about it anymore. So she does like do a really good job of explaining what those different attachment styles look like, and you will probably be able to better identify which one is you. And, you know, just remember the end goal is to be secure, and, you know, be very kind with yourself, because this episode might be something that triggers you. You know, you might not ever thought that the things that you experienced in your childhood truly manifested to who you are today. And if you were to experience things, you know, slightly different, you might be able to successfully be in a relationship without having all these insecurities, having all these problems and things of that nature. So y'all should definitely check that out. And without further ado, get into this goddamn podcast episode. What are your attachment styles, or what is your attachment style currently?
I haven't taken the test in a while, but last time I took it, it was fearful avoidant. Although, I feel like if you broke it down and I answer the questions depending on, like, the style of relationship, it may be different. Like, I feel like I would get fearful avoidant, or, like, Because when I first did it, like 3 years ago, 4 years ago, was it 3 years ago? I got anxious. Like, I figured it was anxious. But then when I did it, like a longer version of it, I got fearful avoidant. And I haven't been in a relationship in a while, but it used to be I was more anxious in like romantic relationships and fearful avoidant in any other relationship, like friends, family. So, but I guess fearful avoidant is like a good general one for like all of them. I think that's pretty accurate, fearful avoidant.
Okay. So, I know you said you kind of haven't taken the test in a while, and you feel as though like your attachment styles can vary based upon like if you're in a relationship or who you're dealing with, I guess you could say like family or so. So I then would want to ask, what do you think led to these attachment styles? Like I know that they say that it's, you know, from parenting or your relationship with whoever your guardian is as a child. Like, do you have any direct correlations that you could think of that you feel like may have led to these attachment styles?
Oh yeah, it's definitely from childhood. The one example that always comes to mind is there was we one day we went to Dorney Park for a weekend, and my brother's dad had a has a daughter. She's like a year or two younger than me, and her and my mom were like holding hands and being all like affectionate, and she had never been that way with me, so I was jealous. And I acted on it. Sorry.
Oh my
Yeah.
God.
So yeah, she was, no, not crying. I'm not crying. I thought someone was
No,
gonna
not
come
even
in.
that.
Oh,
It's
but yeah.
just like all I can imagine is like, you know, like I guess you could consider that like your step sibling at the time. Like, dang, my mama didn't hold my hand and then all of a sudden she holding my stepsister's hand. It's like, what are you doing?
So yeah, I was jealous, and I was like, being a little bratty, and we got our picture drawn like as a cartoon, and the guy drew my picture with like a tear in my eye, because I was just so hurt and I was so jealous. Like, you don't do that with me, so that's one of the things I can think of. And I was about like not 8 maybe then, maybe about 8, yeah, probably about 8. And that's just kind of that, but the fearful thing is like you want to get close to people, but like you're afraid that they're gonna like reject you, or they won't like you for who you are. Yeah, that's do you, that's a, I feel like that's a good example of what fearful avoidance is, like the fear of love, like wanting to be with someone them not wanting you, or wanting to be close to someone and them not wanting to be close to you, them rejecting you in some way. That's kind of what I think of when I think of fearful avoidance, like the fear of rejection.
Yep, and that's exactly what this little diagram that I'm looking at states. Because you know they have like a lot of different examples of them, but one of the things under fearful is afraid of intimacy and rejection. Believe self to be worthy of rejection, and you could be highly emotional with reactivity. And you know, like, that's tough. Like, I feel like at some point in time, I've been all of them. I'm leaning towards secure, but I definitely had the fearful in me, like definitely, because I don't know, like I didn't I my for okay. So for me, my fear wasn't really the rejection piece, but it was more the intimacy piece, like just allowing someone to love me, loving them, like all of that shit was just real strange for me. Like, or like I felt like, oh, okay, like yeah, I love you, but I couldn't show any of that because it's just like, ew, no, I don't want to do that. Like, yeah, I don't know what is it, how is that gonna work or whatever. And then I just kind of in terms just felt like I wasn't gonna receive it anyways, so why am I offering it? And I didn't know how to offer it either.
It's interesting because you're very well liked.
I
Like you've
know.
always been very popular. So I always wonder, like, with people like that, it's like what are your relationships based off of? If you know, you have a fear of intimacy. And like, how are you able to like have these relationships for so long and like keep them consistent? I used to pride myself on the fact that people feel really close to me and I know a lot about them, but they don't know much about me. I used to be like, yeah, that's so cool, right? I used to be like, you know, like, nobody knows anything about me. Like, I'm able to get people to open up to me, but I don't really tell them anything. Or I tell you just enough to where you feel like you're really close to me, but you really know nothing. And I think that was really cool. And now that I'm older, I'm running into the problem of, like, feeling like I'm too intense for people. Like, these are the kind of conversations that I want to have all the time. And I'm able to, like, and for me, like, when I'm in therapy, we bounce back and forth from me joking into me getting really serious like this. And I'm like, I need people who can do both. And I feel like I don't meet them often. And by doing both, I need you to also be able to reveal something. Because if you don't, I'm not going to. I'm gonna feel like, oh, you don't want to be close to me if you don't tell me things. Do you remember a particular ex I had in high school who was a Jehovah's Witness?
Went to yes.
Yeah. So I remember talking to him, and he's so like happy-go-lucky. And I spoke to him, but I knew his dad was a sore spot for him. So I spoke, tell me about your dad. He's like, I don't want to even talk about it. You know, I'm going to move positive right now. And I'm just like, ugh, why are you so happy? Like, tell me something like sad. I want to hear it. Like, I want to hear all that, like the stuff you don't want to tell anybody, because I want to tell you things, but I need you to tell me first.
Mm-hmm.
So if people don't do that, I'm like, oh, they're not, like, if we don't talk about it now, then, you know, they're never going to know me. And if when they do find out, they're not going to like me, or, you know, like, maybe it's too intense for them. So I self-sabotage, because, like, what do you mean you're too intense? Because people talk about wanting to have these kinds of conversations all the time. Like, clearly people want to have them, but I feel like it's just, sometimes it seems like it's all an act. Like, you don't really want to go there. Because if you did, we would be going there.
But it's because people are scared. Like, I think one thing for us to remember is it's all about the balance. Like, you know, like, it's easy to feel like, oh, this is too intense, or I don't want to do this. Or, you know, like, you know, or like, dang, I'm asking them of too much. But no, you know, like, part of it is just balance. It's a give and take with any relationship, and mm-hmm. even with conversation. So, mm-hmm. you know, I'm going to be opening up. And if I'm going to be, you know, telling things, I would like you to do the same. Now, of course, everyone isn't going to be to that certain level of comfortability where they'll tell the nitty gritty of everything. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it still needs to be a give or take. But I feel like people say, like, oh, yeah, I want to tell you my deepest, darkest secrets. But you don't, though. Because mm-hmm. when I say tell me deepest, darkest secrets, I don't mean, like, just for an example, like, I don't mean you to tell me, like, dang, when I was 12 years old, my sister really pissed me off. So I punched her in the face and I ended up having to go to jail. No, I want the full detail. Like, I want you to say how you choked her until she turned purple. And in your head, you were just thinking, like, I really want to kill this bitch. I hate her. And you really punched her. And then the police came and handcuffed you. And that's how you ended up in jail. But they don't want to do that, because they don't want to be like, dang, you know, I was choking her till she was purple and I was beating her fucking ass. Like, mm-hmm. nah, but that's what I want to hear. I want to hear the real deal. I don't want to hear you just, oh, I hit my sister and now I went to jail. Mm-hmm. That ain't the secret, bro. And if you're not ready to tell all of the details, that's fine. But you just not on the same page as me. And so maybe you just need to shoo, because I'm ready to get down to that. But I mean, part of that is just vulnerability. And
I was gonna say that. Like, the big,
not ready for that.
That's like a big part of vulnerability is not worrying about if someone's gonna reveal something to you too. Mm-hmm. It's being like comfortable enough and confident enough that, like, I'm gonna say this and maybe you will laugh at me, maybe you'll give me a hug, but, like, this is my truth, I'm just gonna tell it. I feel like that's true vulnerability. And, like, even, you know, me saying, you know, I think I'm too intense for people, it's almost a cop-out too, because, again, if I was truly wanting to be vulnerable, if I truly wanted to be, you know, have this intimate relationship with you, I would just reveal the things without worrying about if you're going to tell me things too.
That's true.
Yeah.
That's very, very true. Yeah. And you know, that's a big piece, you know, that always comes up, because in that secure attachment style, one of the things is vulnerability. You know, you got to be able to be vulnerable or whatever for that to correctly flow. Mm-hmm. So I have this little chart here that, hold on. It's cut off. What the fuck? I have this little chart here that has, like, you know, how it have like secure, anxious, avoidant, like dismissive, avoidant, fearful, or however, you know, they put it so many different ways.
It's a lot of them.
So many. You just got to figure out which ones kind of coincide. Mm-hmm. And so, like, one of the ones with fearful is a quote saying, like, I want close relationships, but I'm scared of getting hurt.
And you, then, wait, you won't or you want to?
I want them. So, like, I want close relationships, but I'm scared of getting hurt.
Oh, that's that accent. Won't. Want.
How do you say it? Want.
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 Okay.
Then what's the other one? Like, the dismissive is, I prefer not to depend on others or have them depend on me.
Mm-hmm. I'm that way sometimes with my family now. Definitely.
I'm that way. I still have that problem.
Yeah, but I'm more likely to do things for my friends than I am to want it. Like, if my family asks me to do something, I'm going to be like, ugh, about it. And it's only because they relied on me so heavily as a child. It's kind of my saying no. It's kind of my way of, like, trying to set a boundary. But then I feel really guilty. Like, oh, remember I talked to you about this before. Like, am I not a nice person? Am I not really empathetic? Am I not really compassionate if I just keep saying no? But it's more like, I want them to learn how to live without me. Like, what would you do if I wasn't here? Okay, then do that. You know, it could be like
a dependency.
Yeah. Because they depended on me a lot. There was this girl, someone asked her for a ride, and she was like, if I couldn't give you a ride, what would you do? And they're like, take the bus. She was like, so take the bus. Oh, shit. And I thought that, I was like, oh, but I felt that, like, no.
Daniel.
Maybe like once in a while, but like, no, girl, take the bus or get you a car. Like, you cannot depend on me.
Now I feel it though, like, especially if somebody's depending on you all the time, you know, sometimes you gotta be like, okay, enough is a fuck enough.
I've had to do that with a coworker before. Yeah, it was really annoying. Like, all right, I know you live like 2 seconds from the job and it don't cost me no gas to come get you, but you be coming out late and making us late to work, so walk.
Yeah. Nah, that's for real. The other one for anxious is the quote saying, I worry I'm not good enough for my partners. And then secure's quote is, it's easy for me to get close to others. I'm not gonna say I would never do that, but secure to me just sounds far-fetched. Like, okay, like, I'm not saying it's hard for me to get close to others, but what am I just getting close to others for? And that's how you know that I'm not secure, because I can't even understand, like, why would you want to say something like that? It's easy for me to get close to others. Why are you always doing that? Like, why you
close? No better. I feel like that's what's the word when, like, it's subjective. Like, what's closeness? Because what I consider us being close. Like I said, I've had people who feel like I'm their best friend, and I'm like, oh no, we're not best friends. So what is closeness?
That's a good point. What it is subjective. What I take it as is, think of people that you feel like you are close with. I use that as an example. Like, oh, it's easy for me to do that with everyone.
No. Although some people, when I meet them, they're always like, oh, you're so open and so friendly. Like, I was talking to some of the girls in my cohort from grad school, and I was like, you know, I struggle with, like, you know, really opening up. And she was like, you come off so open and friendly. And I'm just like, what am I revealing? Like, to some of the things that I reveal are easy to me. Like, to someone else, that would be really hard to reveal. But I'm talking about more, like, it's more nuanced than just like, yeah, you know, I'm having a hard time today. Some people really struggle just to say that. I don't struggle with that. So I don't consider that. I don't consider me being open in that way. It's like all the other stuff. So people were like, oh, you're so friendly. You're so nice. I can talk to you. And I was like, don't feel the same way.
No, I feel that because at my old job, me and a few coworkers got like really close. To be real, we weren't really close, but we was close for the workplace. And you know, that can make a difference. You got to say that.
Yeah.
And so close for the workplace because they knew some of my personal life. But we were just hanging out one night and everybody just basically had a little mini vid session and was just telling each other stuff about the same relatable topic. And so I remember one day we were talking, they were like, you know, like, dang, I thought you were like mean, but you're actually really open. You're really easy to talk to. Like, you don't have no problem just telling anybody everything, like your deepest, darkest secrets. I'm like, what deepest, darkest secret do y'all know? Like, what do y'all know about me that's deepest, darkest? But I had to realize it's because for them, they considered me sharing that moment to be so opening, so vulnerable, which don't get me wrong, it was vulnerable because like it was a dark moment, but it was easy for me to say because it's just like, I mean, y'all only know part of the fucking story. I ain't tell y'all all the everything. Details. Yeah. You know? But for you, you just feel like, oh, I might would have never said that had I not had this big level of trust. But it's just like, you know, I've gotten to the point where like, for instance, for me to tell y'all that I've suffered with depression, I don't give a fuck who you are. I can tell you because that shit is on the fucking internet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's not telling you the deepest, darkest things, but some people wouldn't even be able to say that. So then they feel like, okay, like, you know, that's a lot for me. But me telling you that don't make us close.
No, because I'm comfortable with this. There's nothing. It's easy for you to talk about things that you've come to terms with. Like, there's nothing if someone's like, oh, you have depression, you suffer with depression, you crazy. It's like, I know I'm not. So there's nothing you can say after the fact is going to hurt me because I've accepted this. I'm comfortable with it. This is my truth. But like I said, or like you said too, some people are really ashamed of some of the things that they do with as far as mental health goes. So that question is kind of like, I don't know what you mean by closeness. Cause I do reveal a lot. but it's topics that I'm pretty comfortable with, but you don't know everything. Like you said, So are we really close? If you don't know everything, I was talking to my therapist and she was saying that people who come off very self-sufficient and independent and, you know, or even like a little bit of a loner type tend to have really high expectations of what a relationship should look like. And when people don't meet that, you know, they tend to stay on the loner side, or, you know, claim that, you know, people I'm too intense for people. But it's like, she was saying, like, maybe your expectations, well, not what she say. I don't know how to explain it, but she was saying something along the lines of like, I can't remember, but it sounded like she was saying, she didn't say expectations, but something along the lines of like, maybe your expectations for what a relationship is supposed to look like, it's just unattainable. So you feel like you're never going to get it because you're just thinking what you want is probably won't exist. And it's just more nuanced than that, I guess. Like with me saying, like, people, I can be too intense for people. It's like I've already decided that before even giving people a chance to like take my intensity. I've just decided that it's gonna be too much for you because you don't bring it up first. If I feel like I have to bring it up every time, then to me in my head, I'm like, oh, this isn't important to you. You don't want to talk about these things. Therefore, I'm too intense for you. And it's like, you just made up a whole story in your head and your expectations are so high. you didn't even give them a chance.
Yeah, that's true. And you know, another part of that is I feel like the fearful side of it comes in it too, because it's just like, I'm going to go ahead and deem this as me being too intense before you even have the option to grant it as, okay, you're doing too much, you're telling me too much, or I can't handle this. So I'm already go ahead in this with the I'm too intense. So if it comes to that, oh, I already knew. Like, the average person can't handle this.
What is that called? Self-sabotaging?
Yep. Self-sabotage. And I have the, I'm going to discuss how I have all three and where I feel like they came from, or how I had all three. The fearful, well, I already talked about the fearful and like my whole thing with intimacy and fear of intimacy, but that was just because like growing up as a child, I personally don't believe that I experienced that a lot. Like I didn't get that a lot. Mm-hmm. I would never say that I never saw anyone be intimate, but not really. Like I didn't grow up in a family where, you know, every time you left the house, you gave a big hug mm-hmm. or you got a kiss. It wasn't always the I love you. Like my mom told me she loved me only when she was going on vacations. Mm-hmm. Like she was going to be going out of town or whatever, like having to get on a plane, you know, I felt like I love you is when you feel like you may not see someone again. That's the only time. Now, my dad, he told me he loved me more often, but it's like my dad would just like tell me he loved me when he felt like I needed to be reminded.
Yeah.
And so like, it wasn't just a thing that we threw around, you know, like we didn't sit together and always have family dinner. Like family dinner kind of left really early on. We didn't talk about all together as our family, how our days were going, how our weeks were going, how we felt, how things made us feel. That wasn't something that happened often. So like when it came down to it and it was time for me to be intimate, for me to be loving, for me to show that, it was just like, hold up, no, I don't know how I feel about this. Mm-hmm. Although I knew it was something that was necessary. It's just like, okay, well, what if they don't give me the reaction that I want? Like, what if I mm-hmm. want to hug this nigga and he don't want to hug? Mm-hmm. What if I want to cuddle and he don't want to cuddle? You're not finna play me. Nope. I'm good. Like, and then it'd just be like, damn, how the fuck do you even go about this shit? I'd rather just not even do it than have to deal with the rejection, which is where the dismissive came in, because then I felt like, you know, I ain't had this shit. I don't need it. Yeah. You know, I ain't been having this intimacy. I ain't been having the I love yous. I don't need nobody to tell me they love me. I already know. It's just unsaid. Like, but then the other side of it would be like I had the anxious, because when I did not receive certain things that I did feel like I needed, I would act out. Mm-hmm. Like now I'm tripping. Now I'm going crazy. Like that was one of the problems I had in my relationship in college. Like I would expect for this nigga to read my mind. So I couldn't communicate directly what I wanted. I couldn't communicate what my issue was. Like, he could do something as simple as, like, I'm over here like, okay, I know that we link up every night or whatever. And so say if this night I'm like, yeah, we gonna watch a movie together. Then he texts me and be like, hey, I'm tired. I'm not gonna come over tonight. Now I'm flipping. Because I'm like, I wanted to watch a fucking movie and you really not even gonna come over? Like, so just fuck us, huh? You don't care about us anymore and you don't care about spending time with me. Where I never even expressed that that was something that I continued to want to do. I never expressed that, oh, tonight I actually had plans and I expected for you to come over so we could watch a movie. So I'm flipping and he don't even know where any of this is coming from. Or like, for instance, another example would be like trying to make your partner jealous. And I would do that. Like, if we would get in an argument, we used to go to parties together but separate. So we would both be there, but we would dance with other people and all of that. Boy, I would wear the most scandalous shit if we had an argument or we had a disagreement. Because I'm like, yep, I'm finna look good and he finna be mad and I'm finna be dancing with all these people and they gonna be thinking I look good. Like, don't worry about it. Like, he would bring that up, how this one time he was going to a party. I wasn't going to go because I didn't feel good. And I didn't ask him to not go, but I just felt like he should just not went. So he came to check on me. He spent time with me. And then he was like, all right, I'm going to go to the party. And I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? In my head. I ain't say nothing, though. I was just like, okay, or whatever. And then when he left, my friends was like, this is going to be the last party of the year. Like, come on, come on. And I'm just like, nah, I don't feel good, because I really didn't feel good. Like, I had to go to the hospital that night. Child, I got that damn outfit on and I went to that party. I told him goodnight and everything and popped up in a party, was beside him dancing with somebody. And he just like, what the fuck? Because I'm like, yeah, because you really gonna go to this party when I feel sick? Like, you not to sit here with me?
And who did you hurt in the end? Because you went exactly. To the hospital.
Look, I'm in a hospital. And when I got out the hospital, he didn't even stay the night with me. And I'm like, what the fuck? But he was just like, you showed your ass. Like, what the hell? He's like, I thought something was wrong. And I'm like, it was. He's like, then why did you come to the party? I'm like, why didn't you stay with me? He's like, why didn't you just tell me you wanted to stay?
Do you have an idea what his attachment style may have been back then, previously?
No, because I didn't know what mine was either at the time.
Okay, but think about it right now. Like, what you know now, what would you think?
To be completely honest, I would think he was secure. But that's just so far-fetched to me, because I'm like, how are you secure? Because he could communicate his, he was pretty trusting. Now, I would say he was secure in a relationship. That's what mm-hmm. I was saying. He was pretty trusting. He could communicate his needs. He was all for communication in general, for the most part, except for when I was tripping and just making it complicated. He was pretty flexible with just, you know, making sure that we had compromises or whatever. But I do think toward the end of the relationship, he began to be kind of anxious. But I think that I made him anxious. Mm-hmm. He began to kind of act out too and do shit to just trigger me just because I was acting the ass. So it just became a shit show. We just both gonna act the ass. And then like he kind of lessened his communication. But I think it was just because at some point people just get tired. It's like, look, I can't be the only one communicating. So he started to like say less, although he could still communicate effectively if he wanted to, but he would just leave shit out. And I'd be like, why you ain't say that? He'd be like, I don't know, I ain't think of it. Mm-hmm. I'm like, yes, you did think of it, because you think of everything. But
I think my ex, well, so I read the book Attached, went out in my last relationship, because I was like determined to like, okay, I used to Google like, how do you date a guy who seems depressed? Like, what do you do? And then I came across this book, and so I listened to the audio book. And I would say that he had, and I would say he was anxious too. Maybe even borderline, like anxious or fearful avoidant. Cause it'll be like, you know, he'll do something and I'm like, he can see that I'm kind of annoyed. And then like later on in that, he'll be like, you know, I was just tripping. I'm so sorry. I just want to be with you forever kind of thing. And then if I didn't respond the way that he wanted to, he would, like, get mad and, like, say something mean. And I'd just be like, I'm very confused about how you really feel right now. You didn't even give me a time to respond to you or even process what you said. Or even, like, consider if I would even want to, like, accept your apology before you reacted. You didn't even give me time to process before you react, because you're just assuming that like I'm not gonna react the way that you want, or you don't know how to handle me reacting in a way that you don't want me to. So if he was like, you know, I really like you, I have all these feelings and I'm just kind of like processing, he just like, that's so, why would you not say anything back, you know, kind of going off like that. And I'm just like, bro, chill out, calm down, I'm trying to process right now what you're saying to me. So it was, apparently she was a mess. It was real hectic. But everybody else I've dated, I would say they were avoidant. Because I feel like people with anxious attachment styles attract avoidant people. Mm. Because subconsciously, you kind of want the chaos a little bit. You're used to like, because you know, when you have an anxious attachment style, that means that your parents were inconsistent. Maybe sometimes they came to you, maybe sometimes they came to, like, if you were crying, maybe sometimes they picked you up, maybe they didn't, maybe they hit, if they said, I'm going to be back at this time, sometimes they were back, sometimes hours later. You're used to, like, the chaos of, like, really not knowing. When someone is avoidant, you don't know how they feel. Especially like dismissive avoidant, you don't know, it kind of keeps you on your toes. And I feel like we subconsciously attract that. Even if you say you really want someone who is secure, would you even know what to do with them? That is so secure. Like, you wouldn't even know how to take it. Like, I don't know how to process you right now. Like, I feel like you're lying, even though you sound sincere, but I've never heard someone sound sincere, so you're lying. You know, you don't even know how to take it.
And you know what? That reminds me of when me and the person I dated in college first got together. When we first got together, I used to always tell him, I don't know how to be a girlfriend. I don't know how to be a girlfriend. It would piss him off. But I did it because I felt like he was just such a great boyfriend. Like, he could communicate that he loved me. He was affectionate. If I was hungry, he brought me food. If I weren't even hungry, but he ate, he brought me food. Food whore. And, like, He just seemed to be doing everything perfectly as a boyfriend. Like, and it was like, to me, it was like, is this what adult relationships are like? What the hell? And so I felt like, dang, I know there ain't no way in the world I'm doing any of this stuff because I don't know how to do any of this. So I used to tell him all the time, like, I don't know how to be a girlfriend. Like, so if I'm ever not doing something, can you let me know? Because I don't know how to be a girlfriend. And after our relationship, we talked about it or whatever. We basically have like a debriefing. It wasn't closure. It was like a debriefing. And he was just like, you know, like, you used to say that so much, I just wanted to break up with you because I felt like you were using it as a cop-out and you didn't want to be in a relationship. And I was like, no, I just didn't know how to be a girlfriend. Like, you were just so perfect at everything. It just seemed too good to be true. And I was like, this shit got to be fucked up somehow. And I'm fucking it up. I was like, I wasn't used to that before. Like, and I felt like that's what it was. He was secure. And I didn't know what that looked like. So, like, I liked it. But at the same time, I feel like it was either two ways it was going to go. Either I was going to not like it and then just kind of like be defensive, or I was going to like it, but then self-sabotage. And that's what I did. So like, I was just kind of like, oh, this is pretty cool. I wish I could do this, but what the fuck is wrong with me? I'm not doing this right. I'm not doing anything, da, da, da. And the crazy thing was at the time he was just like, what do you mean? Like, you're being a girlfriend. But because in my head, there was this certain expectation that he was meeting that I knew I did not meet.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, something's wrong with me. Yeah. So like, that's so true. It's like, you know, most people haven't met that person that's secure, you know? So when you meet that person, it's like, what the hell? Or like me, I actually feel as though I'm starting to become secure and it freaks me out. So when I don't react to stuff, when I'm able to move on from stuff and everything, I'm just like, whoa, what the fuck? Or even when I'm having emotions and I'm like being sensitive, I'm like, this is fucking crazy. Why is it like this?
With being like having like, so for me, I always say like, I'm not afraid of commitment. I'm afraid of people who are afraid of commitment. And I feel like I'm always like using these excuses as a cop out, which they are a cop out. Like I'm always like, you know, I can commit to someone. I'm just afraid that people can't commit to me. And it's just like, what does that really even mean? Like, what do you mean you're afraid that people won't commit to you? And I mean, I haven't really been in like relationships. I've been in a lot of situationships where like, that's been the truth. Like, you know, I've been like, you know, so loyal in this situation and they're not reciprocating that, or they're not giving me like the title that I'm looking for, that I want. And really what that means is, or I've determined recently, is like, you just think you're not good enough because you're still going towards these people who are not committing. You know what you want, you know what you don't want. And it's not to say that because you won't still attract people who won't commit, but now that you know you don't want that, you can stop it. You can be like, no, but you don't. Or I didn't. I do now, sort of. Because that one person from high school is still around. But everybody else who comes in new, I do ask it. Like, all right, I see you about to play games. We're going to cut this off. But before, I didn't know how to do that. I was like, oh, well, you know, maybe they'll, you know, maybe they'll change. Or, you know, maybe if I do this, or, you know, is really what you're saying is you don't think you're good enough. So you're going to put it all on them. And so they won't commit to you. They've shown you who they are. You already know. So you can either stop it or accept it, and you've chosen to accept it because you don't think you're good enough. And that's where all the fearful stuff come in. Like, you don't think you're good enough. And I feel like that could be so hard to admit, because it's like, why would I not think I'm good enough? Like, I'm great, you know. I think I'm a good person. I think I'm attractive. I think I have great qualities or whatever. But why would you continue to accept the bare minimum from people if you really thought you were good enough? So clearly you don't, because otherwise you wouldn't accept it, right?
That's true. And like you said, that's the thing. People have a hard time, you know, accepting and admitting that, just because who wants to walk around like, I'm insecure, I don't think I'm good enough for shit. Like, you know, that's just not brag worthy at all. And, you know, like, some things no, it's just not brag worthy. Like, you know, some things are things like, oh, I'm sensitive. And people are like, why do you want to be sensitive? But that can be a good thing. You know, yeah. You're with your emotions and stuff. But saying like, I'm insecure, I don't think I'm good enough, there's just not anything positive about that. So who wants to admit that? But that is part of it. And it's crazy because I remember at some point I used to say like, oh, like, I don't deserve nobody good. Like, I don't deserve nobody good because I don't fuck so many people over. So I just got to get what the fuck come for me. Like, I don't deserve a good relationship. I don't deserve someone that treats me right. But one day I will deserve it. And it was just like, damn, like, you know, even if I did fuck people over, why do I feel like I don't deserve that? You know, at this moment that I'm not continuing to be just a trifling ass bitch, why can't I accept like, okay, I have changed and I do deserve good. And, you know, you manifest those things too, because you don't even have to admit that shit. If you over here acting like you don't deserve stuff and you're over here accepting bullshit, you will continue to get that. And I think a lot of people find themselves in that those type of situations, like especially women, which I hate to bring up this topic, but especially women that are like with compulsive or like serial cheaters. Mm-hmm. It's because you're accepting of that. Like, you know, at the end of the day, you teach somebody how to treat you. And don't get me wrong, if somebody gonna cheat, they gonna cheat anyways, for the most part. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to have anything to do with you. But when you're going into things with the mindset of, oh, whatever, anybody gonna cheat, that's what people do. I mean, as long as they pay the bills, da 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 da. At that moment, you're saying that's what you're worth. Mm-hmm. So that's what you're going to get at the end of the day. Like, yes, it's nice to have expectations, you know. Yes, it's like nice to be realistic and know that disappointments happen. But when you walk into things that way, that is what you will get. And when you're coming in saying these negative things or thinking with this negative mindset, you're like you said, you're telling someone like, oh, well, basically, I'm not worthy enough to have somebody that is loyal and that will commit to me and only me.
Mm-hmm. And with the person, you know, who's been around, I used to always come like, you know, I don't know if I'm like good enough or whatever. And he'd be like, you're too good, you know, all the time. He would always say that, but still, you know, the same issue persisted. So it's kind of like, I hear what you're saying, but like, do you even believe that? Because I do feel like when you would continue to allow something, I do feel like even though the other person is, you know, they'll still come back, they'll still try and get you back, and, you know, they want to be around, but I do feel like they lose respect for you. Like, my first boyfriend in high school, he said it. He was like, you know, I act the way I do because I know you're not going to go anywhere. So, shit. Like, yeah, like, legit said it. So when I actually broke up with him, he was like, are you dead ass? Like, you're not joking? I'm like, I'm not joking this time. Like, it's over. And he was so shocked because he was just like, you, like, it's been this long, you know, I never thought you'd actually go through with it. And even, like, for me, the other person in high school, the Jehovah's Witness, he was so nice that I would like, throw tantrums just because I knew I could. And that, because anybody else would be like, they'd walk away. They're not even going to deal with it. But he'd be like, okay, you know, what's wrong, you know, trying to talk it out. I've never had that before. So I was like, okay, I can feel anger and actually express it with you, so I'm going to. And it would just be really like not even, I didn't even take a moment to even think about what I'm gonna say. I would just say it, and I would do that because I knew he wouldn't do anything about it. So even, you know, on my end, someone who was just like, oh, I felt so guilty about it, but like, I did it because it was kind of like, I know I can. And he broke up with me, not for that, you know, he said that I was too tempting and he needed to stay faithful to Jehovah. Sorry, that's not funny.
That is not funny.
No, this, he lied about not being a virgin. He was a virgin. And I was just like, why would you lie to me? He was like, because you weren't a virgin. I'm just like, I didn't want to have sex with you. You knew that. Like, I wasn't even on that. And he was just like, I just feel like I needed to not be a virgin to be with you. And I'm like, who do you think I am? I knew one person at that point.
Turn him out.
And I had no interest, like, at all in having sex with him. Because I was still on the other person. He was kind of a rebound. But no, for real. I mean, he's a nice guy. I still think he's really, really nice. But what was I talking about? Oh, yeah. Well, he said I was too tempting and he broke up with me for that. But even afterwards, and I would see him, he would still be like, oh, you know, I miss you. He just looked like he had love in his eyes. And I should be like, ugh. You let me walk all over you, and I don't like that. So I'm like, the attraction for you just diminishes because you let me walk all over you. So I definitely, as someone who's felt it, they definitely lose respect for you when you allow them to, like, do whatever they want. I feel like no guy, no secure and what are the other words type of guys wants a woman they can walk all over, and vice versa. No person in a relationship wants their person to be a doormat. Like, we don't respect doormats at all.
And you know what? I have a prime example of that. There's someone that I felt like would be a great husband, boyfriend. Let me not even say fucking husband, because fuck no. He would be a great significant other to me. If I would have given him the chance. But the reason that I would never give him a chance is because I could walk over him. And, like, he probably wouldn't think I could walk over him because he could put his foot down. But the reason why I know I could walk over him is because he was so head over heels in getting with me. And that sounds good, like persistency. But what I noticed was he was willing to lower certain standards, compromise way too much and everything just to have me, because he just wanted me in any way that he could have me. And I was just like, I don't want anyone like that. I don't want anyone that will lower their bar, lower their standards, or do whatever they can do just to have a piece of me. No, I want you to let me know that, like, nah, this is what I'm going for. I want you, but I'm not finna give up this and this for you because I gotta please me too. Like, I knew that I could probably put him through hell and he would just be like, well, I just really want to make it work out. No, I want you to stand up for yourself. I want you to be 10 toes for yourself at the end of the day before even getting me. But I could just tell by everything that he did, like, he was just willing to do. When people say, like, jump through hoops, bend over backwards, he was willing to break his motherfucking back. Like, if I was in Japan stuck with another nigga and I don't have no way back, and I called him like, can you get me back? If he didn't have the bread, he dipping his savings to get me back, although I'm there with another nigga. Like, because he just like, I just love you. And he would just hope that when I got back, you know, I would realize that he was the one, and I wouldn't realize, and I would just go do my own fucking thing, and it would just be like, damn, why I did this, because I love you. Nah, I don't want nobody that's going for that. Like, no. You know,
And we're not saying, because I feel like guys hear that and they're like, oh, women don't like nice guys or whatever. And it's like, no, I love a nice guy. But nice guys, nice people need to be able to advocate for themselves. They need to be able to be like, nah, like, I don't like what you're, I don't like how you're speaking to me. They need to be able to tell you what they do and do not like. You can do that and still be a quote-unquote nice person. Like,
yeah.
Because I feel like guys can be like, no, women just want thugs and roughnecks and all that. I'm not attracted to that, like, at all. But I need you to be, because I feel like if you let me walk all over you, me, like, what if we, like, out in public and somebody punk you? Like, I don't want to be embarrassed, you know?
That's a fact. You let me walk over you, you gonna let everybody else walk over too.
And then I gotta defend you, and then you gonna feel like I didn't, like, step on your manhood, you know? Like, I need you to exert some sort of, like, tap into that masculine energy, because I tap into mine. We all got masculine energy. I need you to be able to do both, because I definitely like nice guys.
I had a guy like that too, where I dealt with him and he was scared of me. Mm-mm. Like, I could move my hand fast, he would jump and shit. Mm-mm. And like, I'm like, bro, like, what the fuck is wrong with you? And all abuse. I told him a story and it just made him scared of me ever since. Like, but I'm just saying, like, I could have told you I killed somebody. Now you can think I'm just a killer. You don't know. You didn't fact check me, but I mean, I get it. But ever since then, he just was just kind of like, oh, gotta watch out for you. It's one thing to be over here watching out, but it's another thing to be over here flinching. And I could really, like, if I wanted to, I could tell him, like, bro, shut the fuck up. Like, shut up. And he would shut up. he'd be like, man. And I'm like, nah, shut up. And he would be like, and he'd shake his head and he would shut up. I ain't never do that. But I know for a fact that he could. I've done things playingly and he listened. And I'm like, what the fuck is wrong with this guy? But that made me feel unsafe because I'm like, boy, if I can bitch you, then I know if we on the street, a nigga can bitch you. And I don't want that to happen because I don't business.
So I have a question for you. I know this is your show, but I have a question. You said that you were doing things. You said that you were becoming secure. What are some of the things that you are doing to kind of like change your attachment style?
So we're going to close out on this note. I'm going to answer it though. So one thing is being vulnerable. I am really working on that. I am really, really working on that. And the reason why I'm working on it is because, like you said before, like a part of being vulnerable is not being able to say this, but saying it regardless of the reaction, you know, not caring if someone doesn't receive it well, not caring if someone gives a reaction, not caring the type of reaction they give, but just knowing that, okay, it doesn't matter because I said this. So like an example of that is some people will only say I love you if they know they're gonna get I love you back. And if they don't get it back, no, they're not going to say it no more. But the correct way to go about it is if you love that person, just express that to them because it is a form of intimacy, a form of affection. I mean, I guess it's not necessarily intimate, but a form of affection, a form of love. And if they don't love you and they don't say it back, okay, that's fine because this is how I truly felt. If they tell you like, oh, why you ask that? I don't love you. Oh, okay, that's fine because it's how I truly felt, you know. Or, you know, if they just don't say shit at all, you know, deal with it like, okay, well, damn, they didn't say anything, but that's okay because I know that I said it, I got this out, and I didn't keep that in, you know. So that's like a example or whatever. And I'm working on that because I have a problem with reactions because I don't want to get a reaction that I don't fucking want because I know that can cause me to draw back. And the part of it is because I've learned to be vulnerable and I'm getting better at it. But for the most part, I have gotten good responses. So I know at the moment that I do not get a good response, it might make me be like, fuck all this shit. Like, I'm not doing this no more. Hell no. Or it might make me then go into that like acting out part of now I'm finna defend myself because I feel like you offended me or whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, another thing that I'm doing is I'm learning to express myself and communicate well and communicate in a way where I'm not watering it down. Yeah. You know, like if you made me mad, instead of me just saying like, oh, I didn't really care for that, or instead of me just acting out on that, I'm going to let you know, like, you know, I'm not going to lie. Yesterday when I asked you if you would do this for me and you ignored me, that really did make me mad. Like, I'm not gonna lie, I was mad for about 6 hours and I cried because it really made me feel some type of love. And regardless of how you feel about it, I just wanted you to know because I didn't like that.
Yeah.
That shit hard to say. Like, it's easy to be like, oh, I'm mad. Yes. But can you really get to the nitty gritty of it? But learning how to, you know, communicate that and also let them know what you expected. Like, okay, like, I really would have appreciated if you would have done this for me or if you would have at least responded, because then I would have been able to understand why you didn't do it or that you didn't want to do it, that you couldn't do it. But instead, you just completely blew me off. And that in terms made me pissed and maybe not want to be your friend no more, maybe not want to be your girlfriend no more, any of those things. So I'm learning to communicate effectively and say what I mean and mean what I say. And most importantly, not water it down. Because at first when I was learning to like communicate effectively, I felt like as long as I was saying it, it was okay. Because what I used to do is I would feel emotions, I would keep it to myself and not say anything. So then I transitioned to saying it, but instead of going through every detail of it, what I would do is I would just kind of water it down and be like, oh, well, yeah, I felt some type of way yesterday. Now, you didn't feel some type of way, you were pissed. Your whole yesterday was ruined. Like, you need to say that because it's a difference between feeling some type of way and being pissed, because you need to let them know how you felt. Because you can say felt some type of way and they'd be like, oh, okay, well, they didn't like that, but it was cool. I mean, they didn't really care. But little do you know, I still feel some type of way over here. I'm still mad. I'm still thinking about that or whatever. So it's a difference in communicating all of that. So yeah, I'm doing that. And I'm also learning to accept love and learning to not be uncomfortable. I mean, not be uncomfortable with affection. That's something that is starting to freak me out, though, because now I can receive that. And in my head, well, on the outside and my emotions, it doesn't bother me and I like it. But in my head, I'm like, why do I like this shit? This shit is weird.
Mm-hmm. Is this with everyone, or is it, or is, do you find it easier? Okay, let's be straight. Parents. Are you able to do it with your family? Well, your sister, I see. I feel like y'all are, that's so cute. But, like, because I know it's a bit easier with, like, friends and, like, relationships. But what about the people who caused it?
I honestly haven't went the parent route. I went the significant other or situationship route. I've did the sibling route, which is big because I have two different relationships with my little sister versus my big sister. Mm-hmm. Me and my big sister just had a conversation about 3 weeks ago that was like very open, transparent, vulnerable. And it was just amazing, like a crying conversation. So being able to do that, I've taken that step. With my parents, I haven't. I'm getting there though, because like I had a conversation with my mom about a family member, and I was just basically like, you know, like to be real, I don't even feel comfortable talking to her. And I feel like if she want to talk to me, she should come to me, just because you've never been there. So why should I feel comfortable regardless of who you are? Like, I don't care if you're my first cousin. At the end of the day, it's always been a one-way street. So no, I don't want to just get up and just, you know, come to you at your knee. If you want to say something to me, don't ask nobody about me. Come to me directly. And so like, for a long time, I wouldn't even say none of that shit to my mother. I would have asked a friend or something like, what would you do? And I just would have kept it to myself and let somebody kind of run over me because they're family. But I'm getting to the point where I can express those things now. With my father, ain't shit really changed. But I wouldn't necessarily say that the relationship with my father really needs a lot of work. There are some things that I would like to express, though, that I just choose not to. Mm-hmm. But that's just because I don't know how to express them without anger. And it's not even anything personal, but just for an example, I don't like the way he handles certain situations. Like my father handles a lot of things with fear. I think part of that is his military background, though. But as an adult, I now realize, like, you shouldn't have to handle this with fear. Like, you shouldn't have to threaten to take this away or threaten to do this.
Why can't I get what you mean. Okay.
Yeah, why can't you just say, this is what you want, this is what I need you to do, and explain why you want this and why this is important? Why do you have to just sit here? For example, we were on a group FaceTime, a group family FaceTime for the first time a couple of weeks ago, and my little sister had her face outside of the camera. So she just had like her eyes and up. And my dad was like, put your face in the camera. And she was like, my face is in the camera. He was like, if you don't put your face in the camera, you ain't gonna be able to get on no more FaceTime. Come turn your phone off. And I'm like, bro, what? Like, why are you even threatening to go that far? And he will do it because he's done it to me. Why are you threatening to go that far for something that don't even matter? Like, why can't the girl just want privacy? Why does she have to put her face in the camera? What is it? Why is it bothering you that bad that you feel like you have to take that measure? But I have not been able to like address certain things like that with him because I know I'ma just want to come real aggressive and snap. And I do to an extent need to know my place as a child and being his daughter or whatever. Yeah. But I'ma want to come at him like, nigga, what the hell is wrong with you? You really tripping, when I need to just be like, you know, I've noticed that you handle some things with fear and I feel like it's a different way to go about it. Yeah. So until I can check myself, I'm going to avoid that. But I will say doing it with the parents is a whole nother level just because you said that's where it came from.
Yeah, I feel like that's like for me, that's like the root.
And it's hard. You don't know if your parent is receptive and willing to change. Mm-hmm. Because one thing about it is, like, I know, like, for me and you, neither one of us had children. And what I've heard a lot of parents say is, like, you know, like, you don't understand, you don't have children. I did what I could do, or, you know, that's all I knew to do and everything. And with parents, it's like, if I'm going to approach this, I need you to realize I'm not coming at you for your parents to tell you you should have did this different and that's differently. What I'm coming to you is showing you, as a result of what you did, this is what happened to me. And I feel like we should just discuss it. I believe you might have did everything that you knew to do at the moment. Maybe you didn't have the tools to handle it better, but it doesn't change the fact that you doing this caused me to be like this as an adult. If you can't go into this with a parent that's going to be understanding and being able to receive that, knowing that they caused some damage, and just work through those problems and just talk about it and have an open and honest conversation, it's going to be really hard.
Yeah. I think my mom specifically, she's very sensitive to it, because I feel like she knows that she knows her wrongdoings. But, like, you know, hearing it is one thing. If you come to someone and you're like, yeah, I messed up. And even when you come to someone and you apologize and they, you know, continue to talk about, yeah, you know, that really hurt. Even though you came to them to apologize and you know that they're hurt, them responding to you by saying, yeah, that really hurt, is really hard to hear. Because you're just like, oh, you want to, like, silence them. You're like, oh, no, you know, I'm apologizing. I know, but I'm saying I'm sorry. It's like, I know you're saying you're sorry. I'm affirming that, like, yes, what you did hurt. And I'm hearing your apology, but, like, you know, you're apologizing, but you trying to, like, stop me from continuing to tell you the ways that you hurt me lets me know that you're not ready to hear this yet. And it kind of, like, defeats purpose of the apology for me. Because I need you to just be, like, I need you to apologize and then let me talk and then be silent. And, you know, kind of like, you know, yes, you know, I understand. I get it. And again, you know, I'm really sorry, or however you apologize, because there's different ways to do that. But, I think I'm really, really trying. I really want to get better with this whole thing. And I often wonder, like, I wonder what my life would be like if I was living alone right now versus, like, at home again. Like, would I be more open? Would I be, like, more, would I have really gotten deeper and, you know, real with myself if I was alone? Because, you know, like, when you're at home, you probably want to, like, cry. Hearing someone's footsteps as you're trying to get into it, it ruins the mood. It kills the mood. It just tears dry right up. And, like, I feel like that's been really impacting my progress, like, being home. I went, like, damn, I really wish I was, like, alone right now, like, in my apartment by myself. I'm trying to, I think I could start with my brother and try and get there. When I talk to him, one thing that gets in the way for me is, like, when you hear someone, like, someone's, like, hurt, you know, even though, like, you know that they're hurt or whatever, about the same situation that you're like, so for me, I used to try and protect them a lot from all the things that I had to deal with. But, like, hearing that, like, your attempt to protect didn't work is really hard to hear. Like, oh, fuck, I failed at being a big sister. So, and it kind of, like, lets me know that
you're kind of in the same position as your mother would be. It's hard to hear. Like, it takes a certain, it takes vulnerability, honestly. What it takes to be able to, you know, feel that and know, like, okay, things didn't go as planned or whatever, you may have it, but, you know, we're here to discuss this and get past this. This isn't to bash anybody. This isn't to, you know, continue this. It's just, this is what we have to discuss. It's the same thing with, like, when people cheat and nobody want to talk about, like, you know, the cheat, but it's like, nah, if you want us to stay together, we're going to have to address it. You can't move past or grow through something that you don't talk about.
I think it's even harder for me to hear, like, my youngest brother deal with things, because that lets me know that, like, you know, I'm 25 now. So, like, it's been 25 years, and, like, my mom really hasn't changed. She's, in some ways, she's gotten worse. And it's be like, oh, like, and, like, but at the same time, for me, like, I want to kind of live my own life. So, it's like, ugh, do I want to step in, or do I want to mind my business and live my own life? Like, in moments where, like, things are getting crazy, I'm just like, I really want to be, like, shake her and be like, you need to cut it out. But then I'm just like, ugh, that's her son. Or, like, if he needs to get up in the morning to do school, or like, oh, did you do all your homework today? And it's like, this is not my job to be checking your homework or like doing like the small things like that. I should be, for me, it should just be extra. I don't like I said before, with being the person you rely on, I don't like being the primary person that everyone's like coming to. So I avoid it at any cost. And so my issues with avoidance, I feel like I've gotten worse since being home, because all of it is like right in your face. And the root of my avoidance is right here. So that's been difficult. And I asked you the ways that you've been doing it, because I wonder, you know, could you talk to people on your podcast all the time? Like, has that helped you have better conversations or have difficult conversations?
Hell no.
No.
The crazy thing is,
why you say that?
And this is literally going to be my last thing that I say. So the crazy thing is, the reason why I say hell no is because a lot of people think I do this podcast for me. Mm-hmm. Boy, I don't. So, like, people think because this is my podcast, and for the most part, you know, I am the interviewer. I ask the questions. I share things, but, you know, just as a rebuttal, they think that, you know, like, it's like, oh, this is my podcast. This is what I want people to hear. You know, this is what I'm doing, or I'm going to grow through this. But that's completely not the case. I really do this for others. I do this for other people to be vulnerable and feel safe. I do this for other people to realize, like, oh, it's actually a little easier to talk to this. I do this to be like a form of talk therapy with people. Like, I've had people come to me afterwards and be like, I feel like so much better just talking about it or whatever, which is why my podcast guests are anonymous. And everybody's like, when are you going to start putting up videos? I want to see it. No, you're never going to get that from me, because this is a safe space. So for me, it's very important for these people to not have faces. Like, do you think people will be up here coming up here talking about how they were touched when they were younger from mm-hmm. their mother? It might be their first time talking about it, and this can be displayed all over the internet. It's in multiple countries. You think somebody gonna say that same stuff if they face is on the camera? Hell no. You're not gonna feel comfortable to do that. Or if it's gonna be like, okay, Katina, so tell me more about when your dad came in your room and choked your brother. Tell me more. Like, nobody's gonna be able to be, well, the average person wouldn't be able to feel comfortable doing that. So, like, it really hasn't helped me. I feel like it's helped others, and that's what makes me happy. Really, I feel like the only thing that's really helped me is therapy and me realizing that at this point, I'm just ready to do the work, because I'm tired of being this person that I was. Yeah. Like, I've realized the negative effects from it so much that although it's uncomfortable, like, I literally told my therapist, at this point, I don't give a fuck about what happened in the past. I just want to be the best me possible. And I just know that in order to be the best me possible, I have to address what happened in the past. So can we go ahead and address it and get down to everything so I can figure this out, so I can move forward? I just want to be good. And so that's really what has been the thing to help me. But as far as my podcast, no. Not really. And part of that might be because I'm not very vulnerable on my podcast, because I am the interviewer. I should have a podcast where I just let somebody just ask me shit.
Or like, if you, or it was just like a conversation. Like, I don't know if you listen to this other one, but it's called Unpack and Bounce Back. And it's just their cousins. Yeah, they're cousins, and they it's just a conversation between the two of them, but it's just, you know, being shared. And they do reveal, you know, more personal things, but maybe you probably would if it was more of a less interview like and more conversation, and just like y'all just free flow and talking. But I feel like your personality is more on the, like, it's real Gemini. The gift, you have the gift of gab, and just like, you know, you can just make light of things. Does that mm-hmm. make sense? Yeah. Like, it's just like real light, because y'all be talking about some serious stuff, but like in the midst of it, there's a lot of joking in between too sometimes. And it kinda is, and you know, like on your end, where, you know, you try and make it, you keep it like yeah, we're talking about sensitive things, but like I'm gonna try and keep it the energy as like light but deep as possible. I don't know if that makes sense, yeah. But that's kind of the vibe I get from it.
That's exactly what I go for, because like although I'm talking about things that could be what people consider to be dark, I don't want to have a podcast where you just come here and get depressed because you're just hearing people talk about, you know, just miserable things or just trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, I never want to do that because that would be the opposite. So that's what I try to do without, you know, taking away from what has happened or how people feel about the topic, but just kind of trying to create that balance.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Listen, listen, listen. Nah, seriously. Thank you for listening to Thelma's Cope. But I'm gonna need you to do a little something. Subscribe, follow, whatever the hell, so you will not miss another episode. And then also give me your feedback. You know how you go to the grocery store, you go to get fast food, and they be like, please do the survey. Okay, no, I've become that woman. Rate me. Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you can rate me at, go ahead, rate the podcast, leave a comment, shit, do something. And also, if you go to anchor.fm/Thelma's Cope, you can also send me a voice memo. Give me some feedback, and I promise I'll add it to one of the episodes. Peace.